Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello once again, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. For some reason, I always want to, I think about saying for the next 60 seconds, but it is, in fact, the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. We've got special guests. Of course, we're going to be joined by my co-host this evening, so we're certainly looking forward to that. And we're certainly looking forward to you all tuning in with us this evening. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. For those of you all that want to call in, you can certainly listen to us at 347-857-1769. 347-857-1769. Those of you all that want to listen by way of the Internet, simply go to drjessewalker.com, drjessewalker.com, or drjessewalkerinc.com. Either one of those will get you right into the studio, all right, or where you can just press that button, that play button, and come on the show live. Let me go ahead at this time and bring in my co-host all the way from perhaps sunny Atlanta or cool Atlanta. We're going to go ahead and bring in Ms. Audrey Blake. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, Dr. Walker. How are you this evening?
Oh, we're just wonderful. I trust that you're doing equally as well.
Doing wonderful. And Atlanta is great as always. Just a little slight chill in the air, but still a great place to live.
Okay.
And visit.
All right. And what?
And visit.
Yeah, I've been there a number of times. Well, we're certainly looking forward to tonight's show, and once again, it's always a pleasure, and I want to, while I've got you on the air, I want to go ahead and thank you for filling in for me on last week. I had an opportunity to listen to the show. I was on there for a brief moment, but I certainly listened to the entire show. I was in several meetings tied up, and I want my listening audience around the world to know how grateful I am for Ms. Blake tuning in for me on last week, and you'll get more of that throughout the weeks ahead and the years to come. So we appreciate having it's always good to have a good co-host that can just fill in, you know, at the spur of the moment. So thank you for that.
You're quite welcome, and it's certainly my pleasure to co-host this show with you.
Okay. Let's go in. We've got a very special featured guest that we're going to bring in this evening. His name is James Johnson, and we're going to bring him in and just ask him if he would go ahead and tell us a little bit about himself. Mr. Johnson, welcome to the show this evening. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, Dr. Walker, how you doing?
Yes, we're doing wonderful.
Ms. Blake, how
you
doing?
Co-host, Ms. Blake.
Doing great. Welcome to the show, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into tonight's story and tonight's topic.
I'm college educated with a police administration background. I've been married twice, and I'm in a relationship now that is just, you know, out of this world. I got three daughters, and I spend a lot of time with them. I've been here in South Florida since 1987. Kentucky wasn't the place where I wanted to, you know, live my life. But, you know, it's great being here. And my experience just comes from, you know, life itself and being out dating for so many years, trying to find somebody and, you know, meeting different people and learning what works and what doesn't work and just, you know, what people are looking for, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, with that said, and, of course, we've got Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. And just give us your contact information, Ms. Blake, so they can order your materials before we get into the story for tonight.
Sure. Very briefly, as you said, I'm the author of the book Falling in Love with Me. It's a self-help book. And I'm also a motivational speaker and certified life coach. For more information, just go to my website. It's www.fosteringleaders.org. You can read an excerpt of the book or sign up for free, not free, for an introductory or purchase a coaching package. Look forward to hearing from everybody. And by the way, Dr. Walker, I just want to say pretty soon you'll be hearing about my new novel that's going to be coming out as an e-book just in time for Christmas.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that, and you'll certainly get much opportunity, a great deal of opportunity to advertise that right over this broadcast. All right, is everybody ready for tonight's topic so we can go right into it?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Thank you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship, and as always, we thank you for that. Tonight's characters are Adam and Brandon. These are two guys, Adam and Brandon. Adam and Brandon have known each other since their freshman year in college. They both are considered brilliant young men. Now into their mid-20s, they have both come up with their individual check for a lifetime companion. Now, prior to graduation from college, they developed their list in their junior year of college and have vowed to follow that list to a T, and they have actually both agreed not to deviate no matter what the circumstances. Now, Adam and Brandon are now 1 year into their careers. They graduated college, and Adam has presented his fiance to his best friend, Brandon. This is the same individual that Adam had previously told Brandon about that he could not see himself with. Now, thus begins the heated debate between best friends. Now, Brandon insists that Adam is settling, and Adam argues that he has decided to compromise his checklist. Otherwise, he may never find anyone to spend his life with. It's now 3 months before Adam's wedding with a woman he's only known for the past 8 months. And Brandon is pleading with him not to marry this woman because, in his opinion, Adam is settling just to have a companion when, in fact, Brandon feels in his heart he can do a whole lot better. Now, one of the main concerns that Brandon points out to Adam is that his original checklist was for a prospective companion that did not have children nor smoke cigarettes or any other tobacco product. Adam's fiance has two small children, ages 11 and 13, from a previous relationship, and she was never married, and she is a heavy smoker. Now, both of these guys are in their mid-20s, 25, actually. And Brandon insists that because Adam is only 25, he says he can still find what he wants in a young woman who has no children and does not smoke. Adam insists that it's his life, and he will do as he pleases, in spite of the fact the woman is 5 years older than him. Now, after only 2.5 years of marriage, Adam found himself crying on the shoulders of his best friend, Brandon, about the misery he encounters with his wife and her children and how they all take him for granted. Now, just before we blow off the handle, of course, this could go anyway. We're not picking on any gender because the woman has two kids. But these men are 25, and his friend is saying to him, he's jumping into a ready-made family. All right, now, here we go. And the first question that we're going to start out tonight with, should Brandon just tell Adam, I told you so, and call it a day? Which, of course, brings us to tonight's topic. Is there a difference between compromising and settling? Part one. And our featured guest this evening is Mr. James Johnson, a man who's already put it out there that he's been married twice. And I want to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Johnson for his storyline. This was actually his storyline, not his life storyline, but a storyline that he presented to us this evening based on a true story. And we thank him for that. Mr. Johnson, let me open up with you and ask this question. Should Brandon just tell Adam, "I told you so," and call it a day?
I think he shouldn't say "I told you so" because you don't want to pass, you know, judgment. But at the same time, you know, he should tell Brandon, you know, you should have looked, took longer to get to know her, get to know her kids. You should have slowed things down a little bit. Just sometimes when we are too close to a situation, we can't see. You know, there's an old saying that love is blind. Love will make you blind. And sometimes that can happen when your friends are telling you, "Look, I see things," but we're so infatuated and we want this person so much that we do have blinders on. And I think that's the approach that that he should, you know, tell his friend.
Okay. All right, Ms. Blake, and just before we go to the phone lines after this question, Ms. Blake, what do you think? I mean, Mr. Johnson says he's telling, you know, "I told you so." He should not tell him that. But what do you think? I mean, everything that he tried to tell him, it ended up being this way. I mean, what is Brandon to do now?
Well, experience is often the best teacher. And we often hope that we don't have to be taught by the lesson book of experience, but oftentimes that's the case. You know, when people are madly in love, infatuated, most of the time, quite often, that you can't get through to them. They will not listen. All you can do, I think Brandon should not say, "I told you so." A true friend hopefully would not do that, because the fact that Adam is crying on Brandon's shoulders, he already knows that Brandon was correct. So Brandon does not need to reiterate that.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jess Walk Show. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. And we're going to go to, looks like a South Florida number, 305-621. Thank you for joining us. You're on the air live.
Hello.
Hi. Who do we have with us this evening? Thank you for joining us.
Sylvie,
thank you for joining us. Sylvie, can you help us make some sense out of this? I mean, it happens every day. The friends, relatives, older people try to tell young people. I mean, what do you think should happen in a case like this here with Brandon and Adam?
Well, like everyone else said, Brandon shouldn't rub it in. But for me, I would say to him, "At this point, I feel helpless to help you because I think you are so deep into it now. I would recommend that you get professional help, because I said all that I could have said, and nothing, you didn't take anything into consideration that I was trying to tell you. But it's not the end. You're not the first. You won't be the last. It probably could be fixed, but you need to seek professional help, because I don't think I can handle it."
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Let's go to the phone lines again. We're going to go all the way to 973 area code, 819. Who do we have on the air with us this evening? And thank you.
Hi, this is Ross.
Ross, thank you for joining us this evening, Ross. Ross, what do you think? I mean, this is his boy, you know, that he was trying to tell him, "Hey, man, you know, don't jump into this. This was not on your original checklist, you know." So, but his friend said, "This is my life. I should be able to do whatever I want in my life." I mean, isn't that correct?
Yeah, people sometimes have to be allowed to make decisions for themselves. Actually, most times people need to be allowed to make decisions for themselves. And I think, you know, Brandon should not tell him, "I told you so," because then that's kind of like rubbing it in. I mean, okay, if it was my friend, I would just say, hey, look, you guys should try to go for counseling. And, you know, if things don't work out and you end up getting divorced, there's plenty of options out there. So, you know, there's, you know, you could still be happy. So don't think that if it doesn't work out, like, you know, things are terrible, because you'll still have options.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. All of you all stand by. Let me go to the phone lines again. We're going to go all the way to South Florida again, 954-226. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us. Rose, what do you think? If this was your girlfriend that had him married with the two kids and she's a heavy smoker, I mean, she got a good guy and he's 5 years younger, what do you tell her? Or you can also speak to the issue of what was previously stated.
Well, if it were my girlfriend and he got married to Adam, you know, we don't actually know what issues are going on in the marriage and why Adam is now crying on Brandon's shoulder. So I can't really say what I would tell her because I'm not sure what's going on. But if I were Adam, Brandon's friend, you know, I would just be there for him, although I had already told him not to jump into this. As a good friend, I would be there, you know, to support him, and I would try my best to encourage him. Of course, I would refer them to professional counseling. I would, you know, encourage him to let him and his wife go and seek counseling to see, you know, what they can do to save their marriage. But I would just be there for him. I would listen to him, although I might not want to hear him after telling him, you know, that he shouldn't have done this, but I would just be there to listen to him. As for her, if I were her friend, depending on what is going on, you know, if he's a good guy, just try to encourage them, encourage her.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Rose. Let me go back to Sylvie just for a second, then we're going to go back to our featured guest, Mr. Johnson's evening. Sylvie, let me ask you, I mean, this happens all the time with people. So Adam and Brandon are not unique in this situation. What do you think Adam was possibly thinking about when he made his choice of deviating from his original checklist to pick up a woman that he says he didn't want anyone who smokes, he didn't want someone that had kids because he's only 25? What do you think he was thinking about? And then, of course, this is a woman that's 5 years older than him. What could he have possibly been thinking about?
Well, I don't think the age matters. Because,
okay,
yeah, that 5 years is like nothing. But
okay.
I think he was thinking in his heart that he can change this woman after they get married. And that's a mistake that a lot of people make. If you see something in the morning and it's not what you want, why would you think in the evening that's what you want? What has changed?
Okay.
Nothing changed.
Okay.
So I love it. He was settling. Settling,
yes,
is being like coward, like you're giving up, like you got lazy, you don't want to try, you just take what comes. It doesn't make sense. You can't do things like that. Marriage is a serious, it could either make you or break you. It's your life you're talking about. It's your life.
Well, let me ask you quickly. Do you think that there's a difference between compromising and settling?
Yes, I think so. Because
okay,
I see compromise as something between two people working at it. Okay, you give up this, I'll give up that. We'll meet halfway on this or three-quarter way or whatever it is. But it's two people trying. In settling, it's a selfish situation. It's one person giving up everything to try to meet the needs, the demands, or where the other person is. So settling is laziness. You lack self-esteem. You lack confidence. You just it's like giving up. So you settle.
Okay, so you settle.
You can't live true life like that and be happy. You cannot.
All right. Let me go to my future guest this evening. Mr. Johnson, let me ask you this. Do you think the woman that Adam married, and of course we're not picking on any gender because this could be the reverse, if a person has a checklist, certainly, you know, it's a woman that's married to a man. He can have, she can have her checklist. In this case, it's a story about otherwise. Do you think with static from somebody's phone? All right, let me ask this question. And this is, do you think that that he went off base by picking this woman, deviating from his checklist?
I think there's a fine line between compromising and selling. When you look up the definition of compromising, selling is in that selling, settlement is in there. I think he saw his list. I think he was so enamored by this individual that he threw out the list totally. But you take a chance in doing that. You know, we all have or had a list of things that we want and don't want when you're trying to find a mate. But I think when you meet someone that you think is like the one, I don't think you should be so hardline on your list just because that person may not fit into that list, that you could potentially lose out on something. I think when you are dating someone, I think you should, you know, take longer, get to know the person. But this is the dilemma. This is why I thought of this, because just being out there, everybody has a list of what they won't stand for, what they will tolerate and what they won't tolerate, because we all have to have guidelines. There are laws in the land. You know, there has to be a standard, but at what point does that standard cause you to lose out on something special? An example, my father was shorter than my mom, but she saw past his height and looked at the character. Uh-huh. Looked at his confidence, at him as a, just looked at him and saw what he was doing, and she was so enamored by that him being shorter, it didn't even bother her. So had she been hardline, well, I want, and a lot of women are, you know, well, I'm 5'8", 5'9", I need somebody who's 6 foot because I wear 4-inch, 5-inch heels. So if I go off, I don't want anybody shorter than me. But, you know, is that going to stop you from losing out on somebody that could be just the person that you've been, you know, great happiness?
All right, let's hold that thought, and we're going to ask, we're going to continue with the phone line, but let me just go have Ms. Blake jump in here. And, I mean, is there any validity in what Mr. Johnson is saying here, that because we have these preferences, certain select preferences, or we have, you know, we decide not to compromise and settle, or we decide to compromise as we give up something, as Sylvie mentioned. I mean, does that mean that we could miss out if we deviate from our checklist?
Are you able to hear me, Dr. Walker?
I am now, yes.
Possibly, but I want a couple of things I wanted to comment on. One is I talk about this in my book. I have a whole chapter devoted to accept but don't settle. And, of course, the book is geared toward women. But, you know, that you do not have to settle for someone in your life that is not what you're expecting, but you can accept that they're who they are. Because I believe we should accept people for who they are and not try to change them, because you can't. But the other thing is James talked about height, and you have to decide what is deal breaker. That's really what you decide. We all have the list, and sometimes I tell people throw the list out the window, because sometimes what you end up with or what God's will for your life may not even be what's on your list. But even on your list, you have to decide what's the deal breaker. You know, is height a deal breaker? Is money a deal breaker? Is religion, a certain type of religion or belief system, a deal breaker? that individual has to decide what's the deal breaker and prayerfully decide that.
Okay, well, that's an interesting point. We're going to go to the phone lines momentarily. Let me just go to 973 and, yeah, Erica, 973. Let's go to Ross. Let's go back to Ross. Ross, give us your thought on that, what Ms. Blake just presented.
Yeah, I agree with much of what Ms. Blake said. And I feel sometimes we're tempted to make it seem as if compromise is a bad thing. And I think we've seen like a really sort of crazy example of that when it comes to the Tea Party, like in politics, they make it seem like compromise is a bad thing. I think in relationships, compromise makes sense. I mean, just, you know, without getting too caught up in the semantics, it's like when you think about it, you know, I might like science fiction. So I might like movies like Terminator or Lord of the Rings. But if I'm dating someone who likes romantic comedy, you know, sometimes we'll see what she wants to see. Sometimes we'll see what I want to see. So I think compromise makes sense. And if you have a good connection, it won't really seem like compromising because it'll just sort of happen naturally. And settling, I think, is really up to you whether or not you're settling sometimes, because if you feel bad about the decision you made, then there's a chance you may be settling. But if you change your list and decide to try something new, and you're happy, then you're not settling.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to hold those thoughts. You're listening live to the Dr. Jeff Duwalk Show, 347-857-1769. Tonight's topic is there a difference between compromising and settling? We're going to go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go all the way to 813-481. Thank you for joining us. And who do we have on the air this evening?
Yeah, Dennis on the air.
Dennis, thank you for joining us. Dennis, can you... Is there a difference, in your opinion, I mean, between settling and compromising?
Well, I want to go back to your story.
Okay.
Because I actually lived it, except the lady was 13 years older than I was.
Okay.
She had three children. I was only 8 years older than her oldest child, and... It was, I want to say, to me, I thought I was in love, but it was, I guess, more of an infatuation, or I liked the attention that I was getting. We spent a lot of time together. We traveled together. I wasn't that the children's parent. She was that, but our relationship, I thought, had grown, but I couldn't see the big picture. And I think that's what happened to that young man. It seems nice, the attention, but after a while, she goes with someone that she thinks at a higher level. Women already are more mature than what men are. And then when you have a woman that's been through life much more than what the young man had, and then she goes back to it and leaves that person there, yes, the young man would be hurt because he couldn't see it.
So, okay, then we're going to ask you to hold that thought just a moment. You're listening live to Dr. Swanson. We're going to go back to Rose just for a second. Rose, you give us your thoughts. I mean, and then, Dennis, I do want to come back to you, but Rose, you seem like you're itching to get in here.
Hi, Dr. Walker. I wanted to mention, talk about the two things. One, the list. I believe that it's okay to have a list because you need to know exactly what you want. If not, you'll just fall for anything. So I think it's good to make a list. But one of the things I would say when you make a list, you have to prioritize. Put weight on what you definitely will not negotiate. Now, with Adam, he definitely did not want someone that smoked. Is it something that he is totally against? Was it a big weight on that, you know? And then he goes back. Now, if smoking is something that he totally is against and just does not want to negotiate on, and then he ends up marrying to someone that smokes, then I would say he's settling. Okay, because that is something that he knows he cannot live with. So to me, when you know you cannot live with something, when you make that list and you put the weight, you know, the priority on the different items in your list, and there are things that you say, well, I definitely cannot live with this, but this I can compromise with, that I can compromise with, and then you go back on that when you meet someone and you decide, okay, you know what, I'm going to throw this out. You already know you cannot live with this particular thing, and you end up with that person that does, you know, does that thing, you're definitely settling because you're going to be very unhappy.
Okay, thank you for that, Rose. There's good points in that. We're going to go to 305. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air with us this evening? 305-684. All right, we've lost them. All right, let's go back to Sylvie for a moment. Sylvie, let me ask you this question just before we go back to Dennis. And I want to ask the question, should friends interfere in your relationship? Give us your thought on that. Should friends interfere in your relationship?
That's asking for trouble.
Okay.
I think
trying to interfere with Adam. I mean, they were good friends. I mean, they're good friends. And he was trying to give him some insight based on what his original thoughts were. So when you say that's interesting,
To a point.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you need to listen to someone with a different take on what you are doing, or someone that may be seeing something different that you are seeing.
Okay.
But I think once you made up your mind to go with what you want to go with, to make the choice you made, I think it's up to you and that person. All along, friends can guide you. They can tell you what they think. It's up to you to accept it or reject it. But once you get into a marriage and you say, well, this is the person you're going to be spending your life with, you hope to be spending your life with, I think friends should sort of back off because they have no place there anymore. I want to say something about the list, though. The list that it's good. It's good to have a list because I think everything you do in life should have a guideline, something to guide you. So the list should be used as a guideline. And as was said before, there are some things you can live with, and the ones that you can't live with, you should not try to compromise or settle or anything on those because you know for yourself you can't tolerate it. So why try to fool yourself? There are some things on the list that are changeable and some things that are unchangeable. You decide, and you should know what those things are, and you stand on the ones that are unchangeable, and you compromise on the ones that are changeable. And if it's not for you, it's not working out, it's not for you. Move on.
Okay. Now, with that thought, it's not for you, move on. Let me go to our future guest this evening, Mr. Johnson. And would you say that Adam needs to move on? I mean, he deviated from his original list. He didn't want a woman with kids already. He's only 25. The woman is 5 years older. We've had someone say that the age doesn't matter, but he's a young man. Now, it's not working out. He's crying on his friend's shoulder. Should he move on? Mr. Johnson, what say ye?
I say once he's, now that he has a wife and those kids, I say he has to go back and put the effort in to try to make it work. I say before you leave, before you get a divorce, in your heart, you need to do everything you can to try to make it work. And after you've done everything you can to try to make it work, because you want to leave, if you do leave, you want to leave knowing that you've done all that you can do. Because there's nothing like leaving with, like, regret.
Could I make a I'm going to move on, but I was speaking about before marriage. I was not talking about after marriage. Before marriage,
right.
You move on with your list. I was not talking about after marriage. Once you're
after,
in it,
okay,
then
before.
You have to work at it.
All right. Let me go
can.
To my... Okay, and I agree with that. Let me go to my co-host here, Ms. Blake, and ask the question. You know, in terms of keeping it real, here we have a situation where this is a young man that's still in the developmental stages, as we all are, but he's very young. And Dennis, I do want to bring you in at some point, but let me go to Miss Blake here. He's 25, and she's got kids at 11, I believe it is 11 and 13, and she's 30. And now the situation is that he's deviated from his list. I mean, the reality of this, when we talk about a list, how important is it to have a realistic list? And I'm going to ask if you all would be so kind to confine your comments to 15 seconds or less. That would help us because we only got about 12 minutes before we bring the show to a close. Dennis, go ahead with you first. Go ahead.
Okay. Having a list is important. Sometimes you have to adjust your list. You change, so do other people change. As you grow older, as you get more education, as you deal with more people, you see different things. So as you grow, everything around you needs to grow, even your thoughts, your actions. So that's on list.
All right. Okay.
I had a lot of lists, you know, when I was growing up. I kind of was color struck. I liked long hair.
Dennis, we got static from your phone. We're getting static from your line. I'm so sorry about that. Let me jump to Ms. Blake, and then we'll try to bring him back in. Ms. Blake, how important is it to have, realistic?
I'm sorry, we had some interference. So how realistic, could you repeat that?
How important is it to have a realistic list?
Well, you know, very. You always set realistic goals. And, you know, a lot of what people are saying tonight is what I was referencing to the deal breaker. The deal breaker is that thing that you cannot tolerate, that you can't strike off your list.
Okay, all right. Let me jump back over here. Let me try this 305-684. Are you on the air with us? All right. Apparently not. Let me go back then to Ross. I've got some comments that are coming into here, and we're going to send some of those comments out to you all and just take a shot at it. Let's begin with our first comment that's coming in from a male. Ross, we're going to give you a shot at this one. He says, in reference to tonight's program, is there a difference between compromising and settling? I don't really think there is a difference between compromising and settling. I think that when you compromise with your significant other, it is the same as settling to agree to something that you may not want. What do you think about that? He says there's no difference.
No difference between compromising and settling?
Yeah, that's what this guy says. He says that basically when you compromise with your significant other, it's the same as settling to agree to something that you may want or may not want.
Now, I strongly disagree with that. And the thing is, you know, I think if you think of the general perception people have of the word settling sounds like, you know, you're not getting what you really want, and you're reluctantly accepting something else. And I think it's good to make a distinction between compromising and settling, because I feel compromising, you know, it's just a natural give and take, right? Well, okay, one day we try your way, another day we try my way. Whereas settling is you're like, okay, you can't find what you really want, so you accept something that's less than what you want.
Okay, all right. That's a good comment. And thank you for that. We're going to ask all of you, keep it down to about your response to about 10 seconds because we've got a lot of people we're trying to get to, and we want to go through these comments. All right, let's go over to Rose real quick.
Yes, I think that's compromising is a win-win. Both of you win. You might give up a little bit, you know, and not get everything, but you're getting something. Settling is something you're totally unhappy with, in my opinion. You're doing it, but you're not happy doing it because it's definitely not what you want.
Okay, but Rose, I want to respond to that just quickly. You won't, I mean, in the case with Adam and the woman that he married, he wouldn't know that he was settling until he marries her, which is usually the case. You don't know until after the fact in a lot of cases.
Well,
I think he would know.
He knew that because he did not want someone that smoked. That was something I think was very up there on his list. Smoking was something with a definite out for him he couldn't live with. And he also didn't want someone with kids. So the fact that he went ahead and married this person, I think he knew he was settling because it's something that he already knew he couldn't live with.
Okay, Ms. Blake, give me your thoughts. Do you think that you can actually know whether you're settling before you get into it or not?
Absolutely. I agree with Rose that he was settling because you already know what you don't want. And if you're allowing that, then you're settling.
All right. Well, let me ask this question to you quickly now. Let's just say in a situation, let's double the age of Adam. Let's say he's 50 now. And he runs across, and the dynamic of the relationship certainly changes. But now he once had this checklist, and now he decides to alter that or revise his checklist, and he meets a woman that he really falls in love with. But the circumstances and the time is not, I mean, let's say he's never really, he thought he was in love before in all of his other relationships. But then he meets this woman, and this woman has the greatest impact on him. All right, now, almost the Adam and Eve situation, but in this case, this woman, the heart of the matter is everything. This woman holds his heart. And he says, now, you know what, all those other relationships, that was not true love. This is true love. Now, this woman tells him, and they both realize that the timing is not right for him, let's just say, for example, and they can't be together. So now there's another woman that he knew, let's say, 10 years ago, and they run across each other, their paths cross, and they get together. Is he settling? Because he doesn't think perhaps he can get what he had in that other woman. Is Adam settling? Ms. Blake.
I mean, that's not settling. That's a whole other relationship. He is exploring new options.
He's exploring new options. Mm.
I mean, it sounds like he found another person that more closely meets his needs. I mean, did I understand that correctly?
Well, not exactly. The woman that he met that had the greatest impact that he met, but the circumstances were not right. And so, but he loved that woman more than he loved anybody else in all the previous relationships. Now that woman is no longer there, but then his paths crossed with someone he had been involved with years ago. And then he decides, you know what, let me get married to this woman. Is he settling with that second woman because he feels he will never have it again, what he had with that other woman?
I think there's some missing pieces there. Somebody else can take a shot at that because to me...
All right, let me go to Sylvie then. Sylvie, let me ask you, is Adam, with Adam, and based on the circumstances that I presented, would he be considered settling because he couldn't have the first woman whom he feels he could never have the love, he could never find that love again, and he chose to go with this other woman? Is he settling?
I think he's substituting.
Right.
Well, it would depend on how the other woman treats him. You didn't say anything about how the other woman, what's her feelings towards him.
But then it may not even matter how somebody else treats you. If your heart is stuck on one particular person, then you know what happens. If your heart is stuck there, that other person could be the nicest person ever, treated them the best.
Right.
But the question becomes, is he settling because he can't get what he really wants?
It's between settling and substituting.
All right, let's go to Rose. Hold on 1 second. Substituting. They say that substitution is nothing like the real thing. Rose, give us your thoughts. Is he settling? If so, why?
I would tend to believe that he is settling. He's settling because the fact is his love is somewhere else, and he's only marrying this other woman because he feels like, you know what, I can't have the love of my life, and I don't want to be alone. Now, the thing is, first woman, the one that he's marrying, are there things about this woman that he didn't really like? Now, if there are things about this woman that he really didn't like, but now he decides, you know what, let me just go and get married to her, then yes, he would be settling, definitely in that case. But if he was in love with this woman also, yeah, it's kind of a hard situation. Basically, I think for the most part, he would be settling because his heart is someplace else.
Okay, Ross, let me ask you just quickly here, and we are running out of time. Ross, is this guy settling? Would Adam be settling because he can't have the love of his life? Would he be settling or would he be compromising? Which is it, Ross?
To some extent, he would be settling because he wanted the other person. So I would say, yeah, he's settling. And, yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you for that. Mr. Johnson, I mean, just give it to us in a nutshell. 12 seconds or less. I mean, settling or compromising, what is he doing?
Well, if you can't have the one you love, love the one that you're with. You know, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. I think he's settling. I think he's doing himself a disservice and the other person, and I don't think it's going to last because that's going to come out over time.
Okay, so then that brings – Mr. Johnson, that brings us back to our story then. That brings us right back to the story, and that's what I wanted to do was to do a 360 here because with Adam and Brandon had tried to tell his friend, you deviate from your list. You're going against the grain of what you originally wanted. Now you picked up someone, a lady who is outside of the realm of what you initially said. And I know that love can grow, but they've gotten married, and that's why I'm asking the reality of the list. And then, you know, the heart. Nobody really brought in the heart. Dennis, let me go to you on that and ask you about the heart because the heart of the matter is everything. Is there a likelihood, and I know many of you all will probably disagree with me, but I say that Adam's situation is not likely to work out. Adam's situation is not likely to work out. Dennis, what say you?
Yeah, it is a rebound effect, and he is settling. And if I was his friend and I was trying to talk him out of it, he wasn't listening, I would just hit him upside his head. maybe not consensus there.
Okay. We don't want to abuse him. He's still our friend. No. Sylvie, what do you think? And I know a lot of us may not agree with me, but even in the marriage situation, and see, the psyche of all of this is when a person, they wake up, and they feel that their intrinsic need is not being met, then chances are they're not going to stay with that. You know, we can do all that we want to do in terms of hoping that it works, and I agree with what was said earlier, with Mr. Johnson, what he said earlier. You give it to best, and many of you all have said that as well. Give it all that you know to give it. You know, give it all that you can. But there comes a time when love just may not be enough.
That marriage will have problems until the end. I don't see how that marriage could work because you would not be happy. So
right,
it is settling.
Let me take some more of the comments here. Let me just quickly go there, and we're going to ask Ross to jump in on this particular comment. Let me. This comes from a male also. He says, "Is there a difference between compromising and settling?" I think as you get older in life, you start to change your views on relationships from the ways you may have thought earlier on in your younger stages. I think people are likely to settle more in their older ages to avoid being alone. How true is that?
True.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah, that is a very true statement. As you get older, you realize that you may not be able to have everything you wanted originally. So to some extent, you are settling, and hopefully you can find happiness even though you're settling.
Okay, Ross, guy is 65 years old, and he meets a woman that's 59 or 60. He's 65. He doesn't really love this woman, but he's 65. I mean,
he doesn't
want to be alone.
Well, and that's life. Sometimes we make decisions like that, just like you might not be able to afford that car or house you want, or, you know, sometimes you want to buy something, you cannot afford it, and you have to settle for what you can have.
Okay. All right. Let's take another comment. Mr. Johnson, we're going to give you this one, then we're going to bring in our co-host. Let's take another comment. This comes from a female. She writes in, I think I compromised in my way of thinking in my previous relationship, which led me to another relationship of which I regret becoming involved because I now think about my ex-boyfriend, everything in spite of being with a man that treats me better, who I'm not really in love with. And see, here it is again. Here's a woman that writes in and says she thinks about her ex-boyfriend, you know, and yet she found a man who treats her even better than what her ex-boyfriend treats her. But she thinks that she regrets compromising or settling. What do you say, Mr. Johnson, to a situation like that?
I think that if she's still thinking about the ex, I don't think her relationship is going to last. You know, she has to sit down and decide what she truly wants and what she's going to not settle for and compromise on and just not have a relationship until she can, like, decide. Because if you're with somebody and you're thinking about somebody else, that's not going to last. So she needs to just be by herself and decide what she truly wants and then go for it.
All right, Ms. Blake, it is said that love is the strongest force in the universe. I mean, this woman is thinking, clearly, she's thinking about her ex-boyfriend. I mean, is it easier said than done, what we're presenting here this evening? I mean, when you're loving someone and you know.
It certainly is. But she, you know, I don't hear where that ex was. There's some reason that she and the ex are not together. And people get amnesia. So, you know, sometimes we are still in love with a fantasy of what we thought existed.
Okay. You really, okay. Dennis, come here. I mean, Dennis, bring it home a little bit. Dennis, you said that the woman that you were with was 13 years older and it hurt. Were you in love with a fantasy, Dennis, would you feel?
I really do because I thought it was a lot more there than what it was. But, you know, I caught her in several lies and dealing with other people, and that's why I say that. Now, with this woman who is fantasizing about her ex when she's with another man, that means that man really wasn't doing his job to get her mind off the other one.
Good point.
He was lacking in something.
Rose, come on. I mean, realistically now here, Rose, can one person cause you to deviate or change your mind from that other person? I mean, come on, really.
That's kind of hard. It depends on how much you love the other one. Now, if you had someone that you truly love, and I guess it depends on what broke you up in the first place, you know, but if your heart, wherever your heart is, that's where your mind is going to be. You know, it doesn't matter who you're with. And if you're not with the person that holds your heart, you're just there in body.
You know, I think Luther said it best. I'd rather be the one who holds my heart. He said that because let me tell you all something, and I know you all will probably disagree, and I respect all opinions, and I trust that you all respect my opinion. Whoever holds your heart, that's where you're going to be. I don't care who comes along. You will be ending up settling because you're going to just be thinking, you know, this person treats me really good, but my heart is not there. Come on, some one of us on this phone may have experienced that. Will somebody really give us a synopsis of their story? Dennis, Ross, Mr. Johnson, I mean, haven't you been with somebody and your heart is somewhere else? Somebody jump in.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, you're saying definitely. Go ahead, give it to us.
I mean, you know, it's just the person that I'm with now, we were dated three years ago, but the timing, it was wrong. But we had that connection, and we never lost that connection. Now, I was with, you know, I was dating other people 3 years past that, but I kept calling her. My heart kept going back to calling her and just, you know, staying in touch. And now we're back together again because truly
okay.
That's where my heart was. It's just timing was off at that time.
Okay. All right. Let me take a couple more comments. We got about 2 minutes. The producers are warning me. They're actually threatening me. We got about 2 minutes here. All right, let me take another comment from a female. Miss Blake, this one writes in. She says, I think pride can cause us to settle when we really want to be with someone else. Instead, we hold on to pride and hope the man will come running after us. And later we realize some other woman is always waiting out there for the man. How true is that, you think, Miss Blake?
That's absolutely.
Women are holding on to pride, huh?
I think that's true. I think, you know, we want to play that little hard-to-get game, and the guy might be out there saying, next.
Oh, my. Mr. Johnson, you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've known, you know, ladies to try to use other men to make the ex jealous, thinking he's going to come back, and it doesn't happen, and now they're stuck. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let me take this last comment. We got about 30 seconds here telling me. All right. This woman, she writes in, she says, I think compromising has to do with trying to make things you don't necessarily agree with that you give consideration to in your relationship. And settling is when you don't think you can do any better. Also, compromising could mean lowering your standards for the cause of relationship. Sylvie, do you think compromising could be lowering your standards? Just quickly.
Yes, it could. And it depends on what standard it is. There are some things you could lower and some things you definitely don't want to lower.
Okay. Ross, did Adam lower his standards when he picked up this woman with the two children and the heavy smoker, in your opinion?
Yes, he definitely did.
Okay. Let me go to Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson, in your opinion, just briefly, you do believe that there's a difference between compromising and settling. Is that right? Ms. Blake, you're going to have the last word. Do you feel that many people settle or they compromise or there's no real difference?
There is a difference. And unfortunately, a lot of people are settling.
Okay. All right. On that note, we are out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. Those of you all that we weren't able to get to, we do apologize for that. We will pick this up. The producer letting me know that we'll do part two next week. We'll continue with this. Mr. Johnson, are you going to be available for us on next week to conclude with part two?
Yes.
Okay. We'll do that. Thank you so much, Mr. James. For joining us this evening as our featured guest. As always, Ms. Blake, a pleasure to have you on here. We'll see all of you all on next Tuesday. Of course, if you want to join us this Friday for your half-hour inspiration program, you can tune in. This week, we're going to change the time from 7 to 7:30. If you choose to bypass that program, we'll see you again next week, next Tuesday, on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 7 to 8 p.m. Until then, everybody, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.